Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Eli with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
It's Monday. It's football season. You are in the place to be on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. This is Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh. Over the next 2 hours, we'll be dropping things. We'll be picking things up. We'll be getting after it. Doing it all, baby. Oh, yes, it's football. I love this time of year.
Rocket start. We're ready to roll here Moneyline. Yep. Fun game tonight. You know, if you were to tell me Broncos, Seahawks, week 13, juice maybe isn't there. Week one, every game has juice, tonight included.
It was so good, too, because we go over so many games, and specifically on the early line. And you're right. Every single football game has juice because it's week one. But also, every game had something to talk about. Outside of, I guess, the Ravens, which was our money line suicide pick, there wasn't much suspense in that game. But it felt like just about every single game had something for everybody. Now, we are flipping the page towards week two, but we're going to spend some time talking about what happened yesterday. There are some interesting games coming up right away because, yes, tonight, Denver and Seattle, Monday Night Football, Russell Wilson back to his old stomping grounds. Fan to open that line, Kevin, minus 4.5. We're seeing 6.5s across the board. MGM does have a 6. So I know this morning when we were talking on the early line, there were some 7s out there.
Yeah, there were. So are all the 7s gone?
All the 7s are gone from my board, from what I'm showing here, at about maybe 6 or 7 books. Yeah.
And those weren't, like, there were 7 minus 110s out there. So those are normal 7s.
Correct.
So clearly people today grabbing the points. Is that because dogs were covering at a high rate? I don't think that's particularly the case yesterday. I think maybe favorites might have had a winning record at 8-7. Through the first 15 games of the year, I want to say.
I guess people are just looking at that. Hey, I'm going to get a touchdown. I'll just take it because, you know, X, Y, Z. Like, we saw some teams that we expected not to be so good play very good. Teams we expected to be very good not play so well. So maybe some of that is feeding into it. Now, flipping it over, the week two specials are already out on the FanDuel Sportsbook. We're not going to go over. There's 8 of them here. But just one pops right away for me, K-Dub. I just wanted to let the people know. Myles Garrett to record a sack, and Nick Chubb to have 100 or more rushing yards. 3-1 price. They're facing the New York Jets.
Yeah.
That's a nice one.
It certainly is. I mean, Chubb was well over that marker in the opening game. I was going to text you this, but I just was like, I don't want to get down a rabbit hole. But Micah Parsons was plus 172 to record a sack last night.
You should have done that, Kevin, because all week long what I was saying to myself is, and sometimes you get caught up in some things and the game starts, I'm like, I think he's going to be – I've been saying all week, even though it's Tom Brady, he's hard to sack, I thought he would have a big night. So it was plus 172 to get one sack. Oh, my goodness, did I miss that.
Yeah, like I said, the reason I didn't want to do is because there's been a couple of prime time, especially the Sunday nighters when you and I weren't on air, and one text turns into 6 week one specials, which I was just not going to do right away. So that's why I let it be.
Yeah.
And obviously last night was the perfect example of a disaster game. Couldn't find a winner in the week specials board there. Legitimately, I do not think you would have found a single winner on that spot. But my point to bring that up is, you know, Myles Garrett is probably going to be a plus price to record a sack against Joe Flacco. And it shows that Nick Chubb's rush yards, while it's going to be elevated, it's not like we're going to be dealing with over 100.5 yards. It's probably going to be in the 80s, maybe low 90s, but it's still going to be somewhat in check.
Yes, it will be. And also, you know, it's nice because I talked about this so much last week. Were we really excited for week one of pro football? Absolutely we were. But these weren't games where you sort of open up the laptop fresh on like a Monday morning and see the new lines for the new week and start to let them sink in, because we've been talking about the same games for months on end, I should say. But I'm telling you, week one to week two, it will put your mind in a blender. Who you thought was really good turns out to maybe be not so good. A team that was terrible rises to the occasion week two. Because there's a couple of them. Again, we're going to spend a lot of time today talking about Denver and Seattle, seeing if we have an angle or an advantage on a side, a total, and some pretty good prop bets here. But there's a couple games, Kevin, that really stand out. And not the games that most people would say, like, oh, man, let's, you know, seems like a fun game to bet on or watch. You know, Philadelphia Eagles versus the Minnesota Vikings, Tennessee Buffalo, which still I think should be a decent game, even though Buffalo's favored by just about 10 points across the board. But the games that, like, hear me out, because I love this. You knew me week one heading into the Commanders game versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. I thought the Jaguars would get beat in that game and not be able to cover. They went 4.5 to 2.5, and I told you I didn't agree with that movement. Now, in the fourth quarter, looked like it was a genius move there, but as is all said and done, the Commanders ended up winning that game. Mm-hmm. But look at this week. The Colts didn't play very well on the road against Houston. You got to be kidding me. There's 4.5s out there, the Jacksonville Jaguars at home getting 4.5 points. Like, I circle that right away.
Which way should it be?
Jaguars, because I love that stuff. Jaguars lost week one.
Yeah.
You had a tie with Indy. Oh, Indy's not going to play that bad. Who says that? Who says they're not going to play that bad? And who says Jacksonville? What happens if Jacksonville would have won that game? Wentz doesn't make that dime throw at the end of the game. Jacksonville wins by more than a touchdown. That line's 2.5.
Yeah, no, the Colts are still getting some preseason respect, probably because they scored 17 unanswered in the fourth quarter of that football game against the Texans there. And, man, if you look at it, again, this stuff is always fluky, but I'm sure Jacksonville leaves that game against Washington saying, we should have won that game.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely they do. But there's a lot more football to talk about. We got it going on. It's Moneyline. You want to get involved, do it. 844-843-6879.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here on a Monday. It's Moneyline, Armchair Quarterback Edition. We're going to go over some interesting intricacies, I like to say, from yesterday's games. It's Donnie and Kevin here. Three more games I just want to bring up quickly here with some thoughts. We talk about the Colts and the Jaguars, that 4.5. Already, you know, looking at the Jaguars on my end there. You talked about this game. Was it this morning or what were we talking about? Maybe off the air. Washington and Detroit. Mm-hmm. 267-268. FanDuel opens up Washington as a -1 point favorite. That's no longer the case. There's -2.5s out there for the Detroit Lions this week. Now, the thing I love about this, if you watched the game yesterday, which, again, Wednesday, probably about Wednesday, I'm going to be caught up on. I tried to watch as many games as I possibly could yesterday, but there's some things I still want to check out. If the notion was, ooh, like Detroit fought hard, you're taking the wrong thing out of that. Like, if that game goes, I mean, the Eagles basically probably could have ran it up into the 50s. But I feel like they're getting a lot more points from that bump. Like, oh, they'll fight to the end, which I agree with. But they're also a favorite now in this game, which means you're expecting the Lions to win. That I don't care what happened yesterday. The team stinks. It stinks. And if you can just say, let's just say the Commanders' defense is like, all right, we're just not going to let Swift run wild. They stink.
People erased half of the Lions games last year. Man, that team was great against them. No, they weren't. The beginning of the year, they'd cover every other week, all right? But what happened after the week they'd cover when you're betting them plus the 10 is you were also betting them plus 7 the next week, and they'd get absolutely annihilated. Because what this team does, we'll see if it's the same this year, is they pour everything they have into one game, and they're at a massive disadvantage the next week. They're doing onside kicks yesterday against the Eagles. Super Bowl level. Man, I saw someone... And we're not getting the Eagles-Vikings like, man, worried about this Eagles defense. They got 35 to Detroit. Man, the game was over in the third quarter. Foot off the gas pedal. We've seen it 1,000 times. We really have. So the idea that the Detroit Lions would be, because I basically, this is how I view the whole thing. Home field advantage is worth 2.5 points. It might be less, might be more. I call it 2.5 points. If you power rate the Lions and the Commanders at the same, I think that's absolutely crazy town. I think that's crazy. But it's people love the Detroit Lions. They are the most overrated team in the NFL.
Yeah, no, I thought you would like that line because apparently the Sharps off the opening number love what the Lions did. So we'll see how that plays out. Couldn't stop anybody. We'll see if Wentz implodes himself or does one of his. All right, I got you guys back. I'm going to throw a couple teeters here in the fourth quarter and win this one. Next game up, Carolina and the New York Giants. I picked these because they're lightning rod games, and I love it because all the good vibes off of the Giants. On the road win, 13-0 at the half. They looked horrendous. Put together some drives in the second half. The Titans, we'll see how they play out this year. But they open up as a -1 point favorite, and they're just short now of a field goal favorite at -2.5. Me early in the week, love the Panthers.
Yeah, see, I'm a little more hesitant on that, though. You know, because the Panthers trailed a lot of that game against Cleveland. I didn't come away wildly impressed with Carolina, and I didn't come away with, oh, everything the Giants did was fraudulent and things like that. I understand what you're saying, but I'm not early running to the window on Carolina. I'm sure there's definitely an, oh man, really, the Giants 2-0, the Panthers 0-2. The one problem is Daniel Jones throughout his Giants tenure has just been horrific.
He stunk yesterday too, by the way,
at home. Yeah. But at home, Donnie, he is, like, at least statistically, his numbers yesterday were fine. And he is horrific at MetLife throughout his career.
Yeah, we got one team that I think felt like they won the Super Bowl yesterday in the Giants and Carolina with a stinging defeat. We'll see how they come back now. Maybe the spread of the week. And this is what makes football awesome. New England Patriots, Pittsburgh Steelers, 1 o'clock start. New England's a favorite in that game. On the road against the Steelers. And I agree with it, Kevin.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
The Steelers stink. They went to overtime and should have lost. They won the turnover battle 5-0. Trubisky is a joke. You can keep defending it. He's terrible. They basically should bench him after one game and say, oh, my goodness, we escaped. Let's never do that again. TJ Watt is hurt. He's the most important Pittsburgh Steeler. Not even particularly close. The Patriots should be favored in that football game, without a shadow of a doubt to me, everything considered.
And also, TJ Watt not going to be available in that game. Najee Harris may be out, so putting all that onus here on Money Mitch to see what he can do in that game.
They won the turnover battle 5-0.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Nothing. And we're in, shouldn't have even been able to get to, they should have lost in regulation if not for a blocked extra point.
Should have been it should have been a blowout. Should have been, you cut out right there, so that's why I started talking over.
Gotcha,
but I agree with you on that. 5-0. If you win the turnover battle 5-0, what's that, 35-7?
Yeah.
Something like
just
that? Like easy? Just an absolute destruction, terror, and mayhem at that point. And they actually should have lost, go to overtime, should have won, but a lot of fun there. So let's have some fun here. And before we take a look at like individual games yesterday, Kevin, why don't we give the people here an update on the division races here after one weekend and where they sit. If we take a look at the AFC East, Buffalo Bills -300, impressive win opening night. Miami Dolphins yesterday, impressive win over the New England Patriots, +400. Patriots 9-1, Jets 41-1. I watched the Dolphins game yesterday, and I expected them to beat the New England Patriots. I thought it was kind of funny, though, Kevin, how they actually beat the Patriots, where they said, well, we know we have a little bit of an offense here that we can do some things. We don't need to. Let's just not make the errors here because the other team, being the Patriots, we don't think can move the football all that much. So lining up here week two, they play the Baltimore Ravens. And they're a dog against the Ravens. 3.5 points. Opened up at 4.5 at FanDuel. Now it's down to 3.5. But are we looking at that Bills -300, Dolphins +4? Can the Dolphins really challenge the Bills?
Yes.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say, like, deny it, because I did think coming into the season, it wasn't going to be pushover games. Like, when the Bills match up against the Dolphins, it's 14-point lines, right? But the Buffalo Bills were so good on opening night, and I don't think you saw enough out of the Miami Dolphins because they didn't need to do anything. I need to see a little bit more here out of the Dolphins, but a 4-1 price here, against the Buffalo Bills. Still pretty good, because I think the Dolphins are going to be a decent team this year.
Yeah, I do as well. I think the Dolphins will make the playoffs this season, and if anything goes wrong for Buffalo, the Dolphins will be there to pick up the pieces. I think you only would have increased Buffalo price had New England won, because I don't believe in the Patriots this season. Nobody believes in the Patriots this season. All valid reasons. I think you saw from Miami that that's – by the way, I think – I know we have a lot of questions around Tua, but all right, how's the defense going to be without Byron Jones? – A defensive touchdown helped Pats to 7 points. That was a fantastic defensive performance as well from the Miami Dolphins. So I don't agree with moving Buffalo up off of the 1 week.
All right. AFC North. The Baltimore Ravens, obviously we know, handled their business against the Jets, which they were supposed to. They were favored by what? About a touchdown, covered that easily. So they impressed me. So, like, oh, there are going to be lingering issues with Lamar Jackson. He didn't get his money, Kevin, and I told you. No matter. He's going to be motivated either way. Throws 3 touchdown passes, handles that game, and they win. Cincinnati Bengals plus 290. Cleveland Browns plus 340. Pittsburgh Steelers with that win, a plus 550. I'm not all that worried about the Bengals. They'll clean some things up. I'm not going to run and say, well, after one game, I don't think the Bengals can win the division. You're getting a better price than you were just a few days ago, though, at that plus 290.
I've been convinced it's Baltimore's division. I think they probably could be at a minus price right now. The only saving grace for Cincinnati is they're going to play Cooper Rush next week and not Dak Prescott, which is a big buoy for them. But look, you still should be somewhat concerned. 5 turnovers for Joe Burrow is an absolute disgrace.
And a million sacks.
I mean, so those things are not cleaned up. The Ravens were going to run away with that division last year until Lamar was injured. So I think you could have moved the Ravens' number even more.
What a perfect way to get back underway here, Kevin, week 2. You go on the road. Uh-oh, you play the Cowboys. Yeah, no Dak Prescott. Touchdown favorites in that one. 844-843-6879 if you want to get in. What did you see yesterday? Come talk to us, Donnie and Kevin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Flying through on a Monday. The grid is the place to be during football season. Bringing the heat game tonight. We'll talk about it a little bit later in the show. Denver and Seattle. See if we can put together some winners there. But right now we're talking, Kevin, about winners in the division. Indianapolis Colts had a tie against the Texans yesterday. Looked horrendous. Ended up pulling that one out for a tie in overtime. Minus 140 price to win the AFC South. The Titans, who had an easy victory, let slip through their hands and almost got it back, but your field goal kicker stinks under pressure, so you lose that one. Jaguars also, Kevin, into the fourth quarter, had a lead that they should not have lost. 7-1 to win that division. And the Houston Texans, who tied the Indianapolis Colts, a 21-1. Now, having said that, you know what stinks about that game, too? You get a tie. You got the team total over for the Texans. You don't get a half of a, like, you know what I mean? There's no half of a win for that. It doesn't help you with the, you know what I mean? Like, you need the wins. The tie, you might as well have lost it. Yeah, you might as well have lost the game. And by the way, over 18.5 did cash that ticket in that game. So congratulations, Texans backers, if you took that one.
Yeah, I did send that out because I had the full game
did you?
Total.
Nice.
No. I meant in that maybe I should have just took the Texans.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
I sent that out as like as a tweet because, Davis Mills and them could have moved the ball. The Jags look the best of any of these teams in the AFC South. I know people think it's a gimmick when I say I think they're going to win the division. It's not a gimmick. Matt Ryan is, at this rate, one of the most overrated players in the NFL. Listen, it wasn't even Tannehill's fault, but again, the Tannehill clock will continue to tick as they lose football games. They're going to get now, we never know, but they're a near 10-point dog this week, Monday Night Football against the Bills. That's 0-2 if Buffalo holds serve.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the noises will start. The noises are going to start. And is week 3 against the Colts by chance for Tennessee? It's not the easiest start to that season.
Let's see.
The first 5 games are a little difficult.
So we're talking about
the Titans?
Let me see. All right, so I got the odds up here. Let me see. Titans, then Las Vegas, which again, an easy one. Minus good. 1. Look ahead line, -1 on Tennessee in that game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's home?
Yeah. That is home against the Raiders. Okay. So obviously not a lot of respect. Raiders are an interesting team. We're going to get to them in just a few moments. But that's how that AFC South is shaping up right now. Now, I guess we like to get sidetracked. Right? I see this tweet come out. Now's the time for the Steelers to trade Mason Rudolph. To who for what? Like, what? I heard this last night. Like, me out on this. That's one of the beat writers or something. Or whoever. It doesn't actually say team, but you're assuming that it's Dallas, right? I would love it. I would love today if you saw Jerry Jones come out and make this move for Mason Rudolph and not like a Jimmy Garoppolo to at least give your team a chance. But I just, like, I see that out of the corner of my eye, and I say to myself the first way, is like, who would trade anything for me? I'd rather go Cooper Rush. Kevin, I'd rather go Cooper Rush. He's been in there a long time. He's been there a while. He's actually won a football game in Minnesota. Come on now. I mean, enough with that nonsense. So let's get back to the AFC West. Do you have a comment on that one?
Yeah, no, it's
what's your comment on now's the time to trade Mason Rudolph?
Ridiculous. Go get now. I don't know if the Eagles would do it, but I'd much sooner make a phone call on Gardner Minshew.
Man.
I'd much sooner. Just because Mason Rudolph is available. No, I don't think they – I agree. Yeah. But if we're talking about, like, the best options, Mason Rudolph is obviously not one. I don't think he's second either on this list. I probably would be surprised if he was in my top five.
Yeah, that's not like – getting Mason Rudolph to the Cowboys, it doesn't like, ooh, I hope it works out. Like, I'm not even talking about, like, Jimmy Garoppolo would really work out. But at least if he starts, you go, you know what?
I'd call Seattle
He's not
going to
stink. Yes,
I'd call the Giants on Tyrod. Where's Dalton again? Dalton somewhere. Is he still in New Orleans?
New Orleans. Yeah, he's in New Orleans. Yeah.
I'd call.
Yeah, Jameis looked good. Yeah, he could let him go.
I'd bring Dalton back. Honestly, I'd press the Falcons. I'd be like,
they're making a move, aren't they?
Do you want to start Desmond Ritter? Because it's not that it was. But hey, do you want to start Desmond Ritter? We'll give you a legitimate pick for Mariota. Mason Rudolph. Come on.
They're making a move, aren't they? I mean, let's be serious here. Dallas, right? They have to. They can't just say, we're running Cooper Rush for 8 weeks. They're not. They can't do that with their fan base.
I think considering preseason expectations, which were to be a strong playoff team, win a division, but definitely depending kind of that varied, but they were supposed to be a playoff team. And here's the thing. The schedule is winnable if you don't turn into the worst offense in the NFL, which they're going to be with Cooper Rush. See, the problem is, whether it's Garoppolo or Cooper Rush or anyone in between, is they are not walking in to a great situation. But you like you said, you have to give yourselves a chance here. There's winnable games on this schedule, but not with Cooper Rush as your quarterback. You'd be lucky to grab two of your next seven, I would probably say.
I mean, it's all doom and gloom at this point, because you saw even a Dak Prescott, as you pointed out this morning, Dak Prescott was there for a long time in that game. They stunk. So it's not as if, like, oh, man, Kay, they lost him in the first quarter, man. They were just getting going. Sure. No. They were going, and they were going nowhere in that game. Now, granted, Tampa Bay is a top-level defense. I'll give them that. That's no excuse for the performance they put out yesterday. And it's almost like, Kevin, we saw it coming. Take the binoculars out. Hey, Kevin, let's go back to March, April, May. Anything Dallas is doing this year in the offseason? They didn't do anything. They actually went backwards here. And you know what the whole premise was? Well, we have Dak Prescott, Kevin. He's the best quarterback in the division. It doesn't matter. Like, we're just going to win it because we have Dak and everybody else has question marks. Woo! Look at the question marks now in that division. Man.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys had an awful offseason. They have a very bad head coach. And I don't know how anyone at this point could argue the relevancy that nobody repeats in the NFC East for now 2 decades. It all matters, and it's all matter. I mean, now again, I think the Cowboys, I told you I thought they would miss the playoffs before the Dak injury.
Yeah.
This is all
genius
just
now.
They're now clearly favored to miss the postseason by a pretty significant margin.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs here. Now, AFC West, fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. We'll see what the Denver Broncos do tonight. Kansas City Chiefs plus 155. Los Angeles Chargers plus 195. Denver Broncos plus 270. And the Vegas Raiders a 10-1 here. And I said this morning, and even watching yesterday, not because I cashed a ticket, thank you, Patrick Mahomes, they were outrageously good on offense. Every time they got the football.
Four
touchdowns, which he basically was doing that himself. And it almost, I got to tell you, like, I had the calculator out, like, on the phone.
for the
every couple plays, I would just give like a little update. And there was a time, Kevin, I'm going to say maybe 6 minutes ago in the game, it was 4.99, and I'm like, let me play this out in my head as a gambler. Three and out, or if like the Arizona punts because they're down so much. Kyler Murray never comes back, and they just hand the football for Kansas City. Like there's like because we've all been burned by ridiculous stuff. Yeah. But if you would have said to me before the game, here's what Patrick Mahomes is going to do, I'd say this is the greatest bet. I should have upped it to what, when they had like 605 touchdown passes or whatever and ran it up the flagpole. But they were so good yesterday that it was really eye-opening. The Chargers won, which I expected them to do, and cover against the Raiders. We'll see what the Broncos have. The Raiders are still a good football team. They're just trapped in a ridiculous division. But, you know, this is a big game. This is it's a two-part for you, Kevin. Okay. Plus 155 on Kansas City. They're going to get the Chargers at home short week. The biggest advantage you can have in football, being a home team here, playing a road team on Thursday Night Football. Mm-hmm. Crowd's going to be geeked up in Kansas City, their home opener. Keenan Allen, which my favorite. I'm going to tell I don't need to hear anything of what they're saying. Tweaked his hamstring yesterday. We'll see if he can go Thursday. Newsflash, he's out Thursday. That's a massive loss here. Kansas City sitting here to minus. There's minus three. Fox bet is a minus three here in New Jersey at even juices. FanDuel is 3.5 at a minus 106. Love the Chiefs Thursday night. I really do.
Yeah, I have a feeling I'll end up on the over because that's
going to. We're going for every fourth down. Yeah, I like
it. I know.
I'm with you on that.
It's going to settle at that 3.5, maybe four. And at that point, the Chargers are so high-powered, you'd imagine the back door will stay open, right? I mean, there's just a reason why I hesitate on sides, and I have to really, really like
How do you take an under with those two teams? I don't care about the defense is that good for the Chargers. I get it. But you're looking at Mahomes versus, you know, Justin Herbert. And again, we're not kicking field goals for the Chargers. We're going for it every fourth down, which is great. What do they say in football, Kevin? Fourth and one in midfield, the best play in football when you go for it. Why? Get it? Awesome. Don't get it? Awesome. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, great for the total regardless.
Yes.
You're looking to back the over. Where I would worry about a total is it would be basically Mahomes feels he's already proved his point week one. And I just can't imagine that that would be his mindset. Now, it is a little interesting since you're watching the game. I'm sure you're aware of it. The fact that he can't use his left hand is a little interesting.
Could that at some point
kind of come up to bite him? Maybe, you know, lost fumbles down
on a handoff, maybe a fumble. Like, I could see that there. But you know what I liked about it, Kevin? He hurt that early in the game. Lit it up. Like, there was no, like, oh, no, let's really dumb this down and don't take any hits. He still went nuclear after hurting that. 144.2 passer rating. I mean, come on. 30 of 39 for 360 and 5. No picks. Tremendous by him.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Look, we've been beating around the bush, and I know that the idea is a little ridiculous. I'm fully there. I think the Chiefs are now going to be more difficult to stop that Tyreek Hill is gone because it's a completely new look. Not that the book was out on the Chiefs because, again, they were still very hard to stop, but at least you knew your game plan going in, right? The focus of where Tyreek was going to be and how you hope to address that. It's a new design, same unbelievable advantage at quarterback and head coach.
Yeah. And it's going to be interesting to watch everything play out from that side of it here. Now, I know we only have a short bit left in this segment. We're going to flip it over because I wanted to save these two divisions, right? NFC East, which there's not really too many talking points other than a heavy favorite now. But that NFC North, I don't agree one bit with the way they're being priced now at the FanDuel Sportsbook. And also, Notre Dame quarterback expected to miss the rest of the regular season. Can it get any worse for Notre Dame? Come on back. We're talking football money line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline on a Monday, Armchair Quarterback. It's Donnie, Kevin, SiriusXM Channel 159. Phone lines open, 844-843-6879. Maybe the biggest winner, not from a scoring perspective yesterday, Kevin, but for a pathway for your division. The Philadelphia Eagles picking up a win over the Detroit Lions, which they were supposed to, which they made it way closer than what it was supposed to be at the end of that game. But they're now minus 150 price over the Commanders, who are plus 460. The Giants at 5-1, and the Dallas Cowboys tumble all the way down to 6-1. We thought it was going to be the Eagles and the Cowboys neck and neck for this season. Again, a long way to go. We don't know exactly how this is going to turn out, but my goodness, the Cowboys basically from 3 weeks ago as a favorite to now in the basement at 6-1.
Now, this is loosely related to what you just said. I just can't pass the opportunity up, and then we'll okay?
Shoot.
So Tom Pelissero lets everybody know that longtime Bengals long snapper Clark Harris is expected to miss extended time with a torn bicep. This is then quote tweeted by Ian Rappaport. Maybe the most impactful injury yesterday other than Dak Prescott. Someone immediately replies, or maybe the reigning defensive player of the year, to which Rappaport tries to defend, Watt is awesome, but we don't know how long he'll be out and the Steelers won. Man!
That's good.
If you don't hit the bricks with the long snapper that literally nobody's ever heard of outside of Cincinnati fans.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Now, here's the reason why this is such a big win for the Eagles. Your margin for error just increased dramatically. I do think that we – look, Washington and the Giants both won their opening games. I think they both have a chance with very short lines to win their Week 2 matchups there. It's not outrageous that at least one of – in fact, it's likely one of those teams – will be 2-0, but it's over the course of 17 weeks. The Eagles are so much more talented than both of those rosters that if the Dallas Cowboys now, which in terms of talent-wise was the closest to them, are going to be starting Cooper Rush for 2 months, again, the Eagles' margin for error just grew massively, which is why their Super Bowl odds went up tied for the fourth best on the FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yep. Because in order to get into the playoffs, you'd like to win your division to get a home game, which then puts you probably in the market to challenge for the best overall record. And we're not to say that the Eagles are the end all be all, because they had a lot of mistakes yesterday, including letting a bad Detroit offense run wild and convert whatever third down they wanted to. But there is some merit to saying you probably saw this on the horizon. If you like, after the first drive, I tweeted out yesterday, Kevin, it wasn't really a surprise that they went right down the field because the Eagles haven't even tackled yet outside of preseason, which their starters played for like a snap or two. Oh, look, we're in a football game. We better get going. And they did. And they opened themselves up to quite a large margin. Where did they sort of get beat at, Kevin? The fourth quarter, why? Because, again, they had a lazy training camp. Whoo, man, this is really tough playing 75 plays in a game. Never thought this would happen. They'll eventually get their legs under them. But it wasn't a surprise to me that Detroit came all the way back, came down to a long third down run by Miles Sanders and a fourth down quarterback sneak. So that game could have went off the rails, which would have been a disastrous loss, but it wasn't. Now, all right, let's get past the NFC East. Let's stay in the NFC. The NFC North. The Green Bay Packers, who got slaughtered yesterday by the Minnesota Vikings, are still a favorite in that division. At a plus 110 price, Minnesota at a plus 130 price, Bears 10-1, Lions 11-1. Now, I preface this by saying, and, you know, going back and forth on Twitter last night, I don't think the Green Bay Packers are going to be a factor this year. I never thought they would be a factor even before week one. Every single person with a pulse looked at the Green Bay Packers and said, this is ridiculous what they have at wide receiver. Outside of the Green Bay Packers, they played yesterday. They were ridiculous at wide receiver. But if you look, Kevin, at their schedule, it's really easy. It really is. When you look up and down, you say, okay, if I get a healthy Green Bay Packers team, regardless of this wide receiver core, it's not going to be easy week in, week out. But they're going to be favored in a lot of football games that they play, which only leads me to believe this. Can you imagine, Kevin, if they kept Devontae at wide receiver and added another wide receiver, what they would be? Front runners to win the NFC, book it. But they did this to themselves. And I don't agree. I still don't agree with them being a favorite in that division. They're not the best team in that division. No, they're not.
So as far as what they'd be with Devontae, is they'd be exactly what they are now. They've not been dropped all that much, and we'd still have the same I don't trust them in the playoffs questions that they've now earned over the last 2 years. But I've told you this. I'm giving them a loose pass for the Minnesota game because the number one – look, you lose Devontae Adams, it's then not great to also lose the guy that's supposed to be the number one wide receiver to start the new campaign is what they did in Alan Lazard. And again, I'm sure – oh, come on, it's Alan Lazard. That's their number one wide receiver. Whether you think it's good or not, that's the number one guy. You're now exclusively dealing with rookies. Secondly, but more importantly, neither of their starting tackles were there. Rodgers was sacked four times off platform the entire game. Donnie, there's a reason why they flipped to a dog. It was an awful, awful spot there for what is a typically slow-starting football team. So I never expected unreal things, right, from this Green Bay offense this year, but I'm not going to use too much of game one as the confirmation point. That's kind of where I'm at right now with this group here because I can't overlook those injuries. You cannot hand wave those to me and promise me if David Bakhtiari, Alan Lazard were all out there that it wouldn't have made a difference. Those are talented football players.
Jenkins at right tackle, he is talented, coming off a massive injury. Bakhtiari, maybe he got advice from like the Tampa Bay medical staff. He was supposed to be playing like week 8 last year. We still haven't seen this guy yet. It might be does he have a leg? Like, does he actually have a leg attached to his body where we're just expecting him to come back and be dominant? I love the backfield. I think it works. Thunder and lightning back there. But there's nothing now hyping this team up on the outside that can open anything else. They have a tight end coming off a devastating leg injury. But
here's the other thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the other thing. Right? Because I was wondering if they would flip to a favorite, and I think there's a reason why, though. There's no reason that you can't, at minimum, if you're in the room, look ahead to what is on deck. The Vikings are an underdog on the road, catching near a field goal against the Eagles. The Packers are above a touchdown favorite at home against the Chicago Bears. It would be silly to all of a sudden flip the Vikings to favorites just for the Packers to win, the Eagles to win, and then all of a sudden they're both there at 1-1, and you have to flip it again.
Yeah. No, I see. I understand because, again, I looked at their late snake going, you know, let me just go over game by game again. It's not daunting, and you still have one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. But those games, Kevin, where it's like, hey, man, you're going to go play in Green Bay? Yeah, that's a loss. That's not a loss anymore. That's not like we're going to get on the plane, take our butt whipping, and come home in the regular season. Because the Green Bay Packers have no easy wins on their schedule because their offense will labor and labor and labor to win football games, not by a wide margin. We're saying, hey, man, Green Bay won. Where'd they win this week? 35-17? Yeah, it makes some sense. You couldn't stop that team. Now you can stop them. You can keep them all in front of you here because you no longer have that dominant force at wide receiver who, no matter if you triple-team him, he's wide open all of the time. It'll be fun to watch it play out, but I do think by far, more talented team, the Minnesota Vikings. Like, switch sides on this, right? Aaron Rodgers, you're going to get Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, and Dalvin Cook. My God, that's a Super Bowl champion right there, ready to be made and crowned. But Green Bay Packers apparently feel it's better to load up on defense and backup quarterbacks and, you know, wide receivers from small FCF schools. That's what they do. NFC South. Bucks minus 290. They didn't show me anything yesterday that said, you know, they're not going to have a very good season because they didn't need to do anything last night. The New Orleans Saints, even though they won, feels like a loss to me. Like, what are you guys doing? About to get blown out against the Atlanta Falcons. Carolina Panthers 14-1. They'll be feisty this year. And maybe the Falcons at 50-1, they're not going to win the division, but they showed maybe they're just not going to be the pushover that maybe everybody thought. So the Buccaneers should be head and shoulders above that division here today, I would agree.
Yeah, look, the Falcons, I think, I would not be surprised if the Falcons give us, you know, that 2020 Jags vibes. Like, man, look what they did week one. And so I'm like, man, remember week one? They are catching 10.5 at L.A. Honestly, that number might be light against the Rams this coming Sunday. I don't think things are going to really work out for Atlanta. Truly, I think the Cowboys should take a look and see what a Marcus Mariota would cost in the trade market. It's not like Mariota is going to be there beyond this season. Why not go start Desmond Ridder? He's an older quarterback. Carolina, to me, Baker was awful to begin that game. I cannot sit here and go, oh, they should have won. No, they shouldn't have won. It was a game that they were pretty bad in for a while. They did have a late lead, but there was still plenty of time for Brissett to move the ball, and he was hardly touched in that game. And yeah, look, the Saints, but I didn't think it was a great spot for the Saints, so I don't want to overreact. I will say, I'm surprised. Now, I wouldn't have agreed with you, but I'm surprised you're not trying to overreact a little more to Tampa Bay's offensive output there. It was a scenario where they moved the ball. Micah Parsons just kept knocking them into field goal range on third down. Yeah. And then again, eventually, they realized that their opponent had nothing for them.
Yes, and that's what I'm going to go with, because also Brady taking that time off, he's, I don't care how much football he plays, he's going to be a little bit rusty. It doesn't help that you're going to lose Godwin probably for the next, I don't know, 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks with a hamstring injury. We'll see how that plays out.
Oh, didn't see the update on that?
It says Godwin suffered a hamstring strain. There's likely will miss time. That's what I saw.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought there was more to it than that. I didn't realize that was the update I was referring to. I thought it said it was torn for some reason, but I just read it back and it's
If it was torn, he'd be out a long time. Again, we're talking about the Tampa Bay, you know, staff here, so he could have lost a leg last night. They wouldn't know for sure this morning. At this point, I'll continue to hammer them, because I still don't understand what goes on down there. But yeah, that didn't help. And again, Kev, it gets back to the point. Did you need Godwin last night? I know the guy wanted to play, right?
It's like, so weird.
It wasn't as if, Kev, because sometimes teams are really cautious. Like, hey, you know what? At a full year, he's going to be back to 100% strength. You aren't going to wait a full year. But did you have to have him game one? Was it some sort of like we have to prove a point? Like, my goodness, look how hard he worked. We're going to reward the guy. Couldn't you see that coming? And by the way, when you saw the play that where they put it out in slow motion, the knee that he hurt sort of buckled a little bit on that. So I felt fortunate that it was a hamstring and not that knee again.
It's just bizarre. Like, the time I could have sworn when he was injured in the playoffs, the question was, like, will he be back for the playoffs?
Yes.
His injury happened how much
week
sooner
15.
Than Odell Beckham Jr.'s, right?
So, month. Yeah, at least.
Like, two.
Month,
like,
and a half. Yep.
Like, I don't understand. Like, we're like, yeah, like, Odell might play postseason football this year. It's why he's not on the roster. And Chris Godwin's out there. The first play of the Bucs season going 24 yards on a screen pass. It's like, what are we doing here?
It's pretty crazy. Like, I know there's fast healers out here, but there was no need in that game. And beggars can't be choosers, because what happens if you did play well and got out of there? I get it. But I thought you were just asking for an injury, and that's exactly what you got. I mean, the guy had on one of those, you know, I can't get hit shirts right up until game time. Oh, let's just see what he has out in the game. So that is what it is on that end of it here. And also the NFC West. Rams plus 130 got drubbed opening night. San Francisco 49ers plus 160 looked terrible yesterday. Cardinals plus 400, terrible. And the Seahawks tonight 17-1. We're anticipating them maybe to look terrible in their game tonight. So a lot of stuff up in the air and a long way to go here on Moneyline. We got one quick segment coming up. We'll see where JP's going. There is baseball tonight. My goodness.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment before we hit the top of the hour here on Moneyline. Boy, I love it. It's so good to have football back in our lives, because it makes Kevin and my lives so much easier, where you can just let it rip here. NFL, NCAA football action. But JP, it's where we just like to tease some games. Now, you do have an NFL game tonight. The Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks, -6.5. 43.5 is a total in this game. But there is Major League Baseball tonight. Could your play be coming from the Major League Baseball card?
It is not coming from the Major League Baseball card, yeah.
Least right, surprising so, thing of all time.
All right, now, at least give us this. Prop bet or a other bet, I'd like to say.
I'm going with the prop bet. It's probably not the first one you go and look at, but it's a prop.
Okay. All right, so we've got prop bet on the market tonight. Denver and Seattle. So if I'm trying to feel that out, I mean, is he going Russell Wilson? Is he going Russ? It's got to be
he just said it's not the first one you'd think about. So I'm thinking he's not.
I didn't even hear that, by the way. So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I don't know how. I don't know how you didn't hear it. But that's kind of what. See, but this is. Now, I'm about to basically take Donnie's gimmick of asking too many questions. But
Yeah.
My like me guessing like, hold on, all right, here's the is it a yardage prop, JP?
Is it what?
A yardage prop. Like somebody over or under their yards?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. It's more of a player like off the beaten path then, and I think I've got the pick. I've got
the pick. I got my guess in here too.
I'm going to take the Donnie route, and I'm going to guess something that I like.
Me too. That's the way I'm going to take this one. So we'll see what JP has at the top of the hour.
Let me just say, if you guess a star player, I'm going to lose my mind.
I am. Maybe I'm going to lose my mind. Where's he going with this?
All right.
Now, if it turns out to be, he's like, I didn't think anybody would pick DK Metcalf as like a yard prop in this one. Sensational stuff. That's what we do here on Moneyline on a Monday. Monday Night Football tonight. Week 2 on the horizon. Banger on Thursday night. The NFL is not letting us down with a doubleheader also coming up next Monday night. My goodness. Stick with us here. Top of the hour coming up. It's Moneyline.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.